welcome to Chai with Samdosa. In my episodes, I have a great heart-centered conversation with my guests. They are in a diverse population around the world. So enjoy and have lots of fun. Please get in touch if you'd like to be on my podcast as well. Bye for now.
Good afternoon, good morning, and good evening. This is Samdosa with my podcast called Chai with Samdosa. Today I have Charlene Norman. Let I give you a brief introduction because I would like my guests to give a more thorough introduction about themselves. She's got so many great values which completely resonate with me. Authentic, humble, passionate, delivers real life experience backed by fact, humor and wit. She engages the audience, amuses them with stories and show them the tools, people and profit with which they can make a maximum impact in their own worlds. Charlene, that's amazing, short and sweet, I would say, introduction for you, for me. But I would like to say welcome to my podcast, Chai with Samdosa. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Sam. I cannot tell you how much I've been looking forward to chatting with you.
Amazingly beautiful. Me too. So tell my audience who Charlene Norman is and what's her purpose in this transient world.
Well, I'm a Canadian girl. And I'm coming to you from an hour west of Toronto, the capital of our great province here. What is the purpose in my world? You know, that is really excellent. It's an excellent question. A lot of people have been asking me that lately. What is my why or what is my purpose? When I was 20, I came up with the best fantasy for my world. When I was 20, I decided that the best thing that could ever happen to me would be to win one of the great lotteries so that I could give all the money away to every single business owner who had an idea or wanted to go to the next level. And all that was required for me was that I got to help them and advise them on how to do it. I got to tell you, at 20 years old, we know nothing. But I knew that's what I wanted to do. So I had this glamorous career and everything else. And I've always, always, always come back to the same idea. When I got all the training and all the experience that I knew I needed, I was going to pass every last bit of that knowledge on to whoever would be interested in getting it. So my why is to help business owners make the biggest impact they can in their own worlds. And I've had that since I was 20 years old. And of course, I'm only 32 right now. But that's what drives me.
Amazing. Amazing. So, you know, when we say we want to help a lot of people, in your view, that everybody is ready to excel in their journey, or we are sitting in a comfort zone? Because the majority of people who are working in a company for 10, 20 years, they feel they are part of the furniture. They are being adapted by the company. And so in your view, how one can actually shift their mindset from this?
I actually believe in the old saying, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. As much as I've tried in my life to show people which is a better way or which is a more efficient way or which is a faster way or a more profitable way or whatever, I can't do it unless, number one, they're ready to listen, and number two, they trust me. And earning that trust is a big job. And normally what I've noticed anyways, it's not a natural progression to go to a period and then say, okay, I'm ready now. What I've found that doesn't normally happen. What happens is you get bashed over the side of your head. Some major event in your life happens, or maybe in your spousal unit's life, and you realize all of a sudden, is this all there is to it? Can I not be more? And then you start to take tiny steps. And when you start to take tiny steps, the teacher shows up. But I agree with you. Probably 90% of us, and I mean all of us, will at some point in our lives get stuck in that comfort zone of, oh, this is just great. I can just coast for the rest of my life. And then only, in my experience, only a few people say, damn it, I want to have a bigger impact.
True. I think that is a journey everybody goes through, because circumstances of people have in their life, they mold themselves, adapt themselves. If you have children, then you think of, having a safety net of having the same job for until children are grown up, until 10, 11, 12, or 13, depending on how long you wait to shift your career. Because that's some people's mentality. My was there, exactly. I was in the same boat, because I wanted my children to grow up to that age where I see, well, I've sat in the company for 10 years. And, universe was saying to me that, Sam, now you need to move on. And my company actually kicked me out from the company. From that, so I have to look at different options outside, but not everybody has that opportunity. Now, with the COVID-19, this has been put onto you, correct? Now, people have been furloughed for almost 100 days now, and yep. They are being furloughed for another 100 days because companies are thinking of, we are paying by the government, we need to give them 60%. Hey ho, we are still making money. So what's your thought on this one?
I actually, I think the COVID is the most wonderful opportunity that could happen to the world. And I say that because I don't think that, and I'll just speak from a business point of view, I don't think the systems and processes that have been in place for the last 100 years or 200 years have been particularly beneficial for everyone, and I don't mean that in a socialist way, I mean that in a progressive capitalist way. It's been take, 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 it's all about me, and I'm better than you. And I have fought against that for my entire career, and I fight against that even in my own business. And what I see with COVID, yes, there are some people that are really hurting, and they have my utmost respect and love. But it's also highlighting for everyone what's most important in their own lives, and frankly, it's family, frankly, it's friends, frankly, it's everything that's not related to money. It's the little things. Just a really quick personal comment. My husband and I spent 3 or 4 months. We did not kill one another. We don't have children. So it was just us and the dogs. And he's got, so I've always worked from home, and for him, it was different. I had the most amazing, wonderful time. And it was like getting to know my husband all over again, falling in love. And it's been decades since I thought, oh, honey's coming home. Yeah, I'm so excited about that. But I'm back in that groove again. And so many people that I, when we talk to one another through our masks, they're saying the same thing. Yes, it was horrible. It was this, but the best part was I got to understand, renew, love all over again, my family, my kids, my parents. And that really is, at the end of the day, the best thing. And then I'm sure it's the same in your country. There's hardly any smog in the air. People don't have the deep worry lines as much as they did. People actually laugh a lot more, and they're more inclined to be funny or silly or themselves. And for me, all the stiffness, all the artificiality that's attached to being that solid corporate person, or that, well, I can't let my feelings out, I see that disappearing, and I see that as a really, really positive sign.
I think COVID has been a blessing for a lot of people, but again, is also not good for everybody as well. But people who have, as you mentioned, about families are becoming more close-knit, and they are becoming more closer to each other and listening and hearing and participating in a lot of things. And now a lot of companies are thinking of making this as a compulsory, or making it just as a normal for people to work from home instead of coming to workplace, because it is cutting the carbon footprint. It is helping people to have healthy lifestyle. Is it helping them to be congruent with their family, around their family? So there are a lot of benefits. Companies are seeing it, and also companies are going to be receiving a lot of benefits from the government. So the government say, you are cutting a carbon footprint, we're going to give you this much incentive. You are not hiring these big buildings and not using electricities and other these old bits and bobs fuels. We will give you this much incentive for your employees and everything, or your company. So I think there is a good results, and there is also a lot of people losing their jobs because of this scenario as well. But in terms of your own practice, how do you help businesses?
Before COVID started, I always said, I'll help any business owner make a bigger impact in the world. When COVID hit, I thought, well, that's really not, nobody cares about making an impact. They just want to survive. So I immediately switched myself, and I started giving out all kinds of complimentary sessions and guidance on how to make money fast, where to find things, different things that people just, you know, we all get so busy and tied up in our own little world, we can't see oftentimes the forest for the trees. So I would give out suggestions. Well, you know, have you considered this? Have you considered this? The idea was not to make a crap ton of money. The idea was to help most businesses keep their head above water. I can't help airlines. I can't help the tourists. And I'm not so good with the retail, the restaurants and stuff, but pretty well everyone else I could. Well, then as it dragged on, I realized that because I have experience managing through crises myself, I've managed through wars and recessions and SARS and acquisitions that were high leverage and you run out of money and this and that. And then I realized, wait a minute, I've been through some of these awful things. There are things you can do, and no longer do you operate with your to-do list of 200 things. You're barking of orders to your staff to, pardon me, get things done here and there. You have to change your way. So I introduced what I call your post-COVID success plan, which is not a strategy. It is not an operating plan. It is a different way of thinking and a different way of operating. So the best part is the stress levels on the people that I talk to goes from 100 down to 20. It's a massive scale, stress scale these days. So going down from 100 to 20, and I take them through a process, and I'll tell you the process, but at the end of it, they go, that's all I have to do? Yes, that's all you have to do. That list of 200 things, throw it out, because this is what's gonna get you to thrive and survive. So for your listeners, it's really important, pardon me, to look at all the trends that are in the marketplace. And when I say trends, I'm talking about your employees, your leadership, your political, your environment, your society, technology, legal, and economic. Each one of those trends that's going on in your country or in your city has a different impact on every single business. So you have to take a really hard look at and say, okay, what's impacting me? what's going to come up that's going to impact my business. What's just knocked me off my keister and is not going to change. Then you take a look at three strengths that you have. And it's not about your product or service. It's about your core values. And then you take one thing that no matter how hard you try, you can't fix it. Because some people call that a weakness. I just say there are ways of strengthening that. We take all those ideas and then we have a brainstorming session and say, okay, if the world were perfect, what do you think you need to do to get through? What would be the best thing that, what are the areas that you are struggling with and what is the best thing to overcome them? So we come up with a list of brainstorming, probably 200 things. And this is an exercise that is not done one-on-one. It's done with their in conjunction with their senior team, because no one person has all the answers. And I've always found that teams work really good for coming up with incredible ideas. And then I say, okay, so now we've got a list of 200 things on your to-do list. And they look at me and go, well, sure, I already have two things. Now you're going to give me 200 more things. And I say, no, what we're going to do is we're going to rank all those items by how easy it is to do and what gives you the biggest impact on your bottom line. And once those things get charted out on a graph, it's really obvious to pull out the best things that need to be done, ones that have the biggest impact and are the easiest. Some people call that low-hanging fruit. I hate that term, always have done, but it's these simple things. And there's a bunch of trends that I've noticed with what comes out. But basically, you just pick three. You pick three things, and you work on those three things till they're somewhere between 75% and 80% accomplished. And then you bring in three more. And you focus on those things for the next 12 months. That will help you keep your cash coming in. That will help you keep your customers happy and business coming in, and it helps you to prepare for that day when we finally actually might have what we would call our new normal. But there's a couple of things that have come out that I'm really shocked at. Number one, everybody wants customers. Understood. Everybody says you've got to find customers. And 90% of everybody that I've been doing this exercise with, we have to go find more. We have to find new. We have to, shorten your offers, make smaller offers, and target your existing customers. Why? Because they already know you. They already trust you. And I encouraged way back in the beginning, don't give up on anybody. Don't fade into the background. Call every one of the customers and suppliers you're dealing with and find out what's bugging them. It's not to make a sale, it's to find out and take their temperature and help them. So if you've got that basis, then you go back to your customers and say, so what's the biggest problem you've got right now? And you might not be able to solve it, and that's okay, but you actually might be able, you might know somebody who can, and just hook people up. The idea is to stay front and center. And the other thing with your existing customer base that I've been shocked at is people say, well, I gotta go find new customers. So tell me about your sales conversion rate. And so what I'm finding is the average sales conversion is only 20%, which means that's a really easy fix. How do you do it? You change your selling messages, because clearly the spiel that you're giving your customers, honestly, it's not hitting their hot buttons. If you can change your conversion rate from 20% to 50%, that's a crap ton more money that costs you less in terms of acquisitions of that account. And fixing messages is one of the easiest things to do. And it's what I call flip your me into we. It's no longer about you and your products and services. It's about what you deliver to impact the lives of your customers. And for me, Sam, I've grown up with that. And the school system, the business system has failed everybody because it's always about me and I'm the best and pound my chest and everything else. But that's not what it is. It's about how can I make my customers' lives perfect, better. Name the adjective you want. That's where your messaging needs to go. So I started this exercise because I'd realized that I'd gone through all the pain points myself at various times, and I could see that nobody except the big, big, big guys were doing something. And I thought, okay, I can pull this off. And then I'm really surprised at some of the trends that I'm seeing as I'm helping people. And I don't believe that anyone is born stupid. I believe everybody is born brilliant. But I also know that when we're caught up in our own stuff, we don't see our world. We see it as it's been. And maybe that's part of what you were talking about earlier. We get locked into the happy rut. And all I do is I get people to think outside. And if they want, hold my hand and I'll get you through to the other side.
I think a lot of people are sitting in the same rut because they are finding it comfortable. That again, as what you are saying is you can provide them some solid direction, which is what they have to take on board to see the difference. Again, you are what I call you are a fountain and they are the horse. You can take the horse to the water, but you can't force them to drink water. Correct?
No.
So
that is correct.
Yeah. So I think what you're doing exceptionally well. So if somebody says to if somebody wants to work with you in terms of your product or your services, do they have to do you offer some sort of a preliminary things for them to adapt your offering?
You know, I'm kind of an old-fashioned girl. Mm-hmm. I don't use landing pages. I don't use blitzy Facebook ads. I do everything one-to-one because I want to get to know you and I want you to trust me. So what I ask everyone is reach out to me. Send me a personal email to char@bulletproofconsulting.ca if you're interested. We can set up. I give an hour just to discover what everyone's problem is. Just pick one problem and I'll help you. If you want to continue, fantastic. We can go from there. If you don't, it's fine. I get a great kick myself out of trying to help people see through the forest or through the trees. And I'm not for everybody.
Yeah, because I'm not. What I was thinking is, I will get your details on the podcast as well, because I want people to get great benefit out of from that 1 hour consultation with you, because you have lots to offer. It's about they are ready for it. Again, when we talk about a lot of things, people are ready, because at the moment everybody is clouded with this more customers and. I want to get more things done, and they're spending a lot of money in doing a lot of marketing and doing in some other areas, but they're not looking at what they already got.
That's exactly it.
All right.
That
because
exactly.
Yeah, so we are looking outside that, oh, the next, my competitor is doing very well because they are doing this ad, that ad, and all sorts of shebang they are doing on the face of the earth. But because of that, I have to do the same thing. And I'm going to be spending £500,000 to do marketing on the TV or on this commercial, on that commercial. But as you can see, this does not require to do them, because if you already got a list of people, if you already got a customer who are already trusting you, liking you, and following you, they are the best target market for you, which
that's
you can achieve great result from them. And that's where a lot of things are missing, because we do not look outside the box. We keep it inside ourselves and thinking that this is how you need to run the show, because there might be an executive who is a very genuine, very dynamic new executive who have great ideas, but you're not going to listen to him because he's just new, because he hasn't got an experience sort of
That's
thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. So,
exactly.
So there are a lot of strands, a lot of things happening within the society, within the culture, within the countries. Every country look at completely differently. And what exactly you are saying to people is sit with me for an hour and let's have a heart-to-heart conversation and let's see where it goes from there.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I don't want to sell anybody anything. It really is just a conversation. I can't help everybody. I'm not for everybody. But if we connect, I have a track record that says, hey, it'll work. I know it'll work.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So tell us about your hobbies, Charlene.
I am an avid gardener.
Wow.
Years ago, I did a lot of traveling and I fell in love with the UK, specifically Watford, the back country of Watford. And I was introduced to old English roses and old countrysides, English countrysides. My mom came over, my mom's family came over on the Mayflower. So anyways, in our last house, the entire backyard, which is quite large, was filled with old English roses, hydrangeas, lilies, you name it. Anything that was exotic, I had tried it. We moved 4 years ago to the countryside, and I'm now starting a new garden. And you know what? When I retire, which will be like a gazillion years down the road, when I retire, I will have no problems just hanging out all day long in the mud. I love it.
Absolutely. That's the beauty of it, because we are from the mud.
And exactly.
It's the understanding of individual, you know, how you see yourself. Well, that's another philosophical discussion we can have. We can go into more detail about those things. When we have a conversation like those sort of things, when we are on the same vibration, we can dive into so many other area of our life. So tell me about you have a love for food?
Yes and no. I love food, but food likes to stick on my hips. And I just recently, finally dropped this stupid 25 pounds that slowly crept up. And so I'm learning how to cook instead of the French way with lots of creams and butters. I'm learning how to cook a lot more healthy.
Excellent, excellent.
But I do love to eat, yes.
Absolutely beautiful. Any particular cuisine you like?
Italian.
Italian, wow. And what sort of wine do you like, red or white?
White.
White.
My favorite white wine is Riesling. Only, I think, because I spent a couple weeks years ago on the Rhine, and I tried every kind of German wine I could. So to me, that's the epitome.
Okay, absolutely beautiful. And tell me about, do you enjoy any other activities like gardening is one, you love food, you like your wine, and is there anything else which nobody knows but you would like to share with my audience when people will listen to your podcast and says, well, Charlene, I know something about you. That's actually tickle my notes. I just wanted to have a conversation with you.
What else would people be interested in? So I'm never going to see 50 again. And uh-huh. I used to be an avid bike rider, uh-huh. 10 speed. I recently got a 20 speed, and I'm finding that my body is not quite built like what it was when it was 18. Uh-huh. But I'm having a hoot bicycling down by the canal. It's a real hoot, and I'm thinking I wasted a bunch of years when I decided I was too old and too whatever to do it.
And what sort of dogs, how many dogs do you have?
I have two dogs. They are 15 pounds a piece, and they think they're 150 pounds a piece. Yes, I call them my security detail. They let me know when they're around.
Okay, and what sort of breed they have? What sort of breed do you have?
One's a Bichon and one's a Shih Tzu.
Wow, I have a dog. Yeah, I have a dog as a Staffordshire.
Oh, those are delightful dogs.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Totally delightful.
Yeah, he's adorable. He's 3 years old. But he's very mischief. When I play with him, he's very good. But he's running around everywhere because he likes attention, and so it's very lovely. He secured the house. His bark is very strong.
Yeah,
when he barks, everybody thinks this might be a vicious dog inside, but he's not a vicious dog.
Exactly, they just think they are.
Absolutely, absolutely. Charlene, thank you very much for your kind presence in my podcast, Chai with Sam Dosa. You have shared so many amazing wisdom with myself, and I think this is the journey. When I connect with my guests around the globe, they becomes like my family, because the doors are always going to be open for you to be here in the UK. So you know you've got a family. Yes, yes.
Well, thank you so much. I think the podcast is, I love the name Chai. Chai is one of my favorite teas.
Mm-hmm.
And you are as delightful as a podcast host as anyone could possibly ask for.
Thank you very much. Really appreciated your feedback. So guys, that was a delight to have Charlene Norman today on my podcast all the way from Canada. And she's been amazingly shared her knowledge with us. And I will put her details on the podcast. Please get in touch with her. She can do wonders if you are going through with some uncertainty in your business at this present moment with COVID-19. She will show you some direction, because it's all about getting some direction from authentic, humble, and person who can actually delightfully guide you to come out from this scenario of uncertainty at this moment. There is always light at the end of the tunnel. So do not despair yourself. So thank you very much for joining us. Have a fantastic rest wherever you are, and a fantastic day. Bye for now.
Welcome to Chai with Sam Dosa. In my episodes, I have a great heart-centered conversation with my guests. They are in a diverse population around the world. So enjoy and have lots of fun. Please get in touch if you'd like to be on my podcast as well. Bye for now.